The gospel reading is taken from Luke, chapter 22, verses 14 to 23. Glory to you, O Lord. And when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to question one another, which of them it could be who was going to do this. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. As soon as the COVID-19 lockdown protocols began to operate around the world, Christians everywhere recognized that there would be one area of worship that would really suffer: sacraments. Because they involve close contact, baptism, and especially Holy Communion, involving food and people sharing a cup. This couldn't happen in the protocols and the safety precautions that had to be followed. And so that was realized within minutes, and then the months have dragged. And for me, it has been difficult. It has been difficult not meeting around the table, not ministering in my capacity, communion to people, and that precious faith zone that forms when you present, this is the body of the Lord. And you see eyes and hearts rise in excitement and hunger and mystery and awe. So that's one thing I want to say, and we are, as it were, breaking fast today. We are breaking fast on behalf of the whole congregation in that way. This morning, Barbara had the opportunity in Maastricht to baptize a new believer, an adult from a Muslim background, whose discipleship had started before the lockdown, continued online, and this morning was a moment where legally and with precautions it could happen. And I'm very excited for Barbara and that whole situation and that congregation in Maastricht that that could happen. Moving on, communion is a mystery, or Eucharist, if you're used to using that word. Baptism is a mystery. But here's the thing. Human beings have the ability to take a mystery of God and make it even more mysterious. And that has certainly happened with communion through the centuries. It has sometimes been made a very sort of clinical, metaphysical business. And a mystery of God made more mysterious. And what I just want to say about communion now, without trying to roll back 19 centuries of theology, I want to make it clear enough so Sam sitting over there. Hello, Sam. You're 9? 10. Mustn't get it wrong. He's 10. I want to explain this in such a way that Sam at age 10 will get it. Because it just goes back to the actions and the words of Jesus that we heard described in the passage that Chris just read us from Luke chapter 22. Now, first point to note, so often when people read their Bibles, they read the words of Jesus, but don't attend to his actions. Jesus had hands. He had feet. He had a body. Very, very important part of Jesus. He had food. And I'm not going to explore this, but he went to the toilet. Jesus was a human being. And so when we read the scriptures, we really should attend to what he did. Yes, listen to what he said by all means, but don't overlook what he did. So on the night that he instituted the Holy Communion, the Last Supper, that's described for us here in Luke chapter 22. And first thing in verse 15, he made that comment that I started the service with, which is in this translation, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. This was a meal that Jesus had been playing in his mind in anticipation. Nothing he said or did here would be impromptu or by accident. He had been birthing this within him for a long time. And at verse 19, he starts to do things. And he does four things. And priests call this or refer to these as the fourfold actions. Four things that Jesus did. And they're very worth recognizing. It's essential to recognize them. So, and he took bread. He took hold of bread. And it says here, when he had given thanks. In other words, he thanked his heavenly Father for the bread, for all that had made it possible for that bread to be in his hands. And you can think about that a long time. The blessing of creation, the provision of good soil, of rain, of grain, of farming, the harvesting, the baking, the delivery. When you hold a piece of bread, there is so much in that. And Jesus gave thanks. Another way it's sometimes described is he blessed it. In other words, he acknowledged God in relation to this bread. When I do this on a Sunday, I hold it up as a way of saying, thank you, Father. We recognize God in the provision. So what's he done so far? He has taken. He has given thanks. Next thing he did was he broke it. And you'll be used, I hope, to the way I do that very big and public breaking. So it's very clear this is bread being broken. It would be so much easier to use a knife, be tidier, be more precise. But no, that's not what Jesus did. He broke it. And the fourth thing he did, he gave it to them. So, Sam, let's just go through the list again. Four things. Take, give thanks, break, and give. Do you think you can repeat that? That's right. And if you remember that for the rest of your life, and the fact that you can find that in Luke chapter 22, verse 19, you'll be on a good foundation. It will save you from a lot of mystery and speculation and layers that really are unnecessary. And then Jesus spoke. He acted first, then he spoke. And giving it to them, he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now, that word remembrance is worth a bit of comment, and then I'm going to finish, because otherwise this becomes a lecture, and we can't have that on Sunday afternoon. The Greek word is anamnesia. Now, you know, in English, amnesia is loss of memory. It's not a good thing. Anamnesia is the opposite. It's to have memory. Now, in our world, typically we think memory is about recalling information. I need to remember your name, Mohan. Right? I need to remember what you look like, Martha. We think about it's about information. In the world that Jesus lived in the Jewish mind, it's more than information. It's more like the presence and the situation becoming real again. And we have those experiences. We have those sometimes recollections and memories where it's not just a piece of information about someone, but it's as if they are really with us. And we can smell them, and we can feel their closeness. We're there. They are here. Much, much later, this would be described as a real spiritual presence. This is a mystery, but I'm just setting out for you what it is, what we're being told here in this verse. Then he took the cup, and I'll leave that for another time. But just to go back to make sure we've got those fourfold actions right there, Sam, a little bit of pressure here. Four things that Jesus did. Right. You'll be ordained next week. So seriously, that's what we're going to do here. And we're going to do that in slow, deliberate, safe way. And I'll give you, instructions for doing that. Because this is...